All right, now let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. I began this past week to read in the book of Kings, and my heart was drawn to these two passages. In the passage we consider now, I want us to behold the miracle of God's saving grace toward hopelessly in themselves lost sinners. Four leprous men are found at a gate that enters into the city that's besieged by a powerful enemy. Now just turn back, hold your place there, but turn back to 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6, verse 24-25. 2 Kings 6. Here's what's happening. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. I looked it up. It said about $300. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung, about a half pint of dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver, a little over $19. Now, these four men we're going to look at for a second, they're types of all men by nature. They've got leprosy, which is a type of sin. They're outcast, like all of us, outcast by God because of our transgressions. Men who were pictures of all who are without God, without hope in this world, in bondage to Satan, death, grave. What a plight. The scripture sets forth 2 Kings chapter 7, starting in verse 3. There were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Now they're sitting in a gate in this city. Picture of this world, all of its pleasures, false religion, famine, spiritual famine is the order of the day. And those within the city, there's nothing there to eat. Here again, this is a picture of this world. There's nothing, any sustenance to eat. And those within the city, it's besieged, it's surrounded. Those within the city would gladly eat the disgusting flesh of an unclean animal to survive. Or they'd take, as one writer said, to buy a half pint of dove's dung. They'd give 5 pieces of silver just to get what a dove, who is a clean animal, that would eat grain and things that were good. They'd buy a half pint of dove's dung, try to find just some undigested seeds or grains that could be picked out and eaten. And then when there was no other hope, cannibalism took over. I'd hold your play, turn back to 6. Chapter 6, verse 26 to 30. I'm telling you, this city is a picture of this world. You know, sometimes we try to paint this world. This is kind of a nice place. This is, you know, this world is prosperous. And, you know, this country. Oh, I pray God have mercy on this country. But this country just still the greatest country in the world. I thank God for it. But this country, like this world, spiritually speaking, this is the way it is. This is how it is. The problem is we just don't know it. God has told us what's in this world. But here's the attitude. This is what you talk about depravity. Somebody say, I'd never do this. Don't kid yourself. 2 Kings 6:26, and as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Boy, what words of wisdom. Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press, and the king said to her, what aileth thee? She answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard these words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Oh, the immeasurable depth of man's depravity. This world offers no hope, no peace, no comfort. Solomon wrote about that in Ecclesiastes. I'm going to give myself to mirth. I'm going to give myself to pleasure. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be happy. There is nothing here that will sustain us, that will satisfy us. I said it again. I go anywhere you want to go. See anything you want to see. And after you've seen it, you've seen it. I've never been to a lot of places in this world. I've looked at encyclopedias. I've looked at pictures. Okay, I've seen it. It's not going to satisfy. Here was a city besieged. It was famine. People would pay good money to buy nothing. And then after you ate that, get you a half pint of Dove's dung. Well, that's something to look forward to. Here's these lepers. Back to 2 Kings chapter 7. These lepers. Four lepers. And they're sitting at the entering, in the gate. Entering the gate. Now inside there's nothing. It's bad enough. There's no food there. There's cannibalism. These men are lepers. They are the worst of the worst shape of anybody. Men sitting at the gate and said to one another, why sit we here until we die? These men are corrupt. The scripture sets forth concerning mankind, Genesis 6:12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. These men are sitting there. Their flesh is rotting off. I hate to be so graphic, but this is the way it is. This is the way it is. Tell men exactly what they are, how they are before God. Because when you take your last breath, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to know it then. You will know it then. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Here's where we are. By birth. And what can we do about it? Nothing. These men were sitting here, and they asked this question. Why sit we here until we die? Going back into the city wasn't an option. There's nothing there. The law of God forbid that they go back and be around anybody. Hold your place, turn to Leviticus 13. Now, these men are lepers now. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. If the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he's unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Can't go back to the law. Scripture says in Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God's law must be satisfied because God's just. The penalty for the broken law is going to have to be satisfied. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So if we're going to take that which the Spirit of God has set forth for our instruction, teaching, and correction, we would do well to consider these four lepers right here. Consider these four lepers as types of us. Go ahead and let's just realize we are born walking dead men, possessing no power to change our condition. The Scripture says in Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then neither may we also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Lepers sitting in the gate, outcast, nothing inside, no hope, in the midst of what appears to be total despair. The Spirit of God is pleased to record the conversation and the actions of these four lepers, which reveals the evidence of God's mercy that has been shown to undeserving sinners. What these men said and what they did sets forth the only hope we got. So here's what we got. First of all, these men were blessed with a grand conclusion. They came to a conclusion. These four lepers were made to behold in picture and type their spiritual state. Again, verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we shall die also. That's pretty good conclusion. Here's a discovery that was made. Turn over to Luke chapter 15. There was a discovery made by these men, and here's a picture, a type. That same conclusion that was given to the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous, reckless, loose living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, just like in that city. And he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk of that the swine did eat, just like they'd eat up donkey's head or half pint of dove's dung, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go. These men came to the conclusion, if we go back into the city, we're going to die, and if we sit here, we're going to die. The conclusion of a man's desperate condition is only known spiritually. It's only known when the Spirit of God opens his understanding to perceive how hopeless his case is. I can sit here and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. I've been here over 20 years now. And men can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. And I can talk about man's depravity and about our state before God being born in Adam. And when God opens a man or a woman's heart and they hear it, they're going to say, and in their heart they'll realize for the first time, I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. These men said, I was sitting right here, and there's nothing there, and there ain't nothing here where we're sitting. If we go in there, we're going to die. And if we sit here, we're going to die. And here's the conclusion spiritually. I need some help. I'm in trouble. I have sinned against God. David said in Psalm 51:4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Until a man or a woman realized, I am a sinner. I'm not talking about, you know, I took a, you know, I slipped out a little something out of, you know, five and dime there, stuck it in my pocket, you know. I realize, but no. I'm talking about I am a rebel against God and I deserve to be in hell right now. I deserve to be there. And if God gives me what I deserve, that's where I'm going to be. I'm in trouble. They came to a grand conclusion. We're dying. We got a disease that's going to kill us. And there's no help in that. Well, having seen their plight, these men were brought to behold the only hope that they had for any kind of continued sustenance. And it pictured that which a wretched sinner, by the grace of God, knows. Here's the second thing. They knew this. We need mercy. Back in verse 4 again, the last half. Well, I'll read the first part. If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine's in the city. We shall die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall upon the host of Assyrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to die anyway. We're going to die. If I sit here, I'm going to die. If I go in there, I'm going to die. I ain't got nothing to eat. My flesh is falling off. If we go to the Syrians, if they let us live, we'll live. If they give us something to eat, we'll have something to eat, something to drink. And if they kill us, well, we're just going to die anyway. We got the only hope we got. What a blessed place for a needy sinner to be found. Hemmed up to where there's no other hope but that God Almighty would show mercy. These lepers, because of where they were really enemies to the Syrians. The Syrians had them besieged. These lepers say, well, what'd I ever do to you? Well, you belong to that city right there. And we want the city. So you are the enemy. Let me ask you this. Were we not, because of what we've done, spiritually dead lepers, enemies of God? In our mind, the scripture says, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. These powerful Syrians had the upper hand, and therefore they were the ones before whom the four lepers must plead for mercy. Who are we dealing with? We're dealing with God Almighty. Sinned against Him. That's what David said, against thee and thee only. Well, I thought I did this against you. Well, I did, but it's against God. All sin's against God. What does God's word reveal concerning mercy that is shown to sinners who come to the Lord for mercy in heart? What does Scripture say? Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, what a blessed truth. He delighteth in mercy. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me my need. Lord, draw me, cause me to call. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. I think about that. God's people, God's elect, they were enemies in their mind by wicked works, not in God's mind. God Almighty has everlastingly loved his people, loved his sheep, his elect, in Christ. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Oh, there's mercy with the Lord. If God's given you a heart and you need mercy, there's mercy with the Lord. And that mercy is eternal. Psalm 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His mercy, mercy. I told you, mercy sets forth that we're guilty. We're guilty. We're lepers, spiritual lepers. His mercy is boundless. Psalm 108:4, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Beloved, look for him in all of the word. He's there. Here's four lepers. Again, that's us spiritually. That's by birth, that's us. Spiritually shut out from hope in ourselves. No hope. Four men who needed, like us, mercy. We're going to die right here. For them, they had to go to the Syrians. The Syrians, that part, I can see that. Syrians as a picture, a type of Almighty God, spiritually speaking. They're the powerful ones. They're the ones that before whom these lepers are going to have to stand, spiritually speaking. Well, they knew they were going to die. They're going to die in that gate. They're going to die at the hands of the Syrians, but they're going to die. Mercy was their only hope. To look to this world, look to its emptiness, look to religion, false religion. You know, get all you can all you get, and build bigger barns. Look to the deceiving drink of false religion, and there's nothing but death. We sit here, we're going to die. If we're going there, we're going to die. If we go to the Syrians, who knows? Well, thirdly, here's the next point. What'd they do about it? Here's where we are. Here's our conclusion. This is where we are. What do we need? We need mercy. Well, what did they do? Well, look at verse 5. Well, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Now, again, we behold a beautiful picture of the miracle of God's grace to his people. Those that's been made to know what they are, something of what they are. I don't know the depth of what I am. If I knew the depth of what I am, truly, by being born in Adam, I'm sure I'd go crazy. I couldn't stand it to see myself for what I really am. But I know this, I know something of myself. I know I can't help myself. I know that. I know this, I know I'm going to die. And I know I need mercy. So by the grace of God, what does a man or a woman do? He that cometh to me. These guys were going to the Syrians because that was the only place that they could go. Here's a picture of us. We by nature, I know that we don't want, we will not. Isaiah 30:15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. Now you think about what he just said. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Here's the last four words of that verse. And ye would not. You wouldn't come. You wouldn't come. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Stay on horses, trust in chariots, because they're many, and in horsemen because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. That's man by nature. I'm just going to tell you right now. You that know him not, if you don't want to come, that's just natural. That's just natural. That's just as natural as sunshine. But you're going to die. You're going to die. You sit where you are and you die. You're going to face God. You're going to hear him say, depart from me, and you're going to lift your eyes up out of hell. That's what you're going to do. Forever. But if Almighty God given you a heart to know, I'm in trouble. I've always been in trouble. I've always been in trouble. I need God to do something for me that I can't do for myself. If he does that, I can tell you what's happened. Almighty God has given you a heart. If you say that from the heart, Almighty God's given you a heart in the day of his power. Now you're willing. Now you're willing to come. These four lepers came because they could not do anything else. They couldn't do anything else. They came because there was no other place to go. Those that hear the Lord proclaimed his sovereign right, his sovereign will, sovereign pleasure, those by nature that hear that and will turn like that multitude and follow him no more. That's what man wants to do. I'm not going to listen to that mess anymore. That's what they say. I'm not going to listen to that mess. But for those that God's been pleased to show something of themselves, they're going to say like Peter when the Lord asked him, you want to go away too? Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? I'm sitting in this gate. I got spiritual leprosy. There's nothing inside. There's nothing in me. I need some help. Would God have one like me? Would Almighty God have one like me? I mean, I'm telling you, like me, I've told you before, you don't want to compare your past life with mine. You don't want to. I'm just telling you that for a fact. Me, a stinking, spiritually rotting sinner. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1, verse 18 to 20. Would he have one like me? I've seen a lot of it and done a lot of it. Isaiah 1:18. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Would he have one like me? Would he? These four lepers decided, picture of us by the grace of God, we're going where we can only find mercy. They kill us. What did Job say? Job 13:15. Though he slay me. yet will I trust him? I don't have any other place to go. When they came, an amazing thing was discovered. I'll wrap this up. Back in 2 Kings 7, verse 5, they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when those lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went in one tent, did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went in and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. When they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called into the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents were as they were. These four lepers, they came to the camp of the Syrians, and an amazing thing happened. God had removed that which held these lepers and that city in bondage. That whole city was bound. And these four lepers came, and when they got there, there wasn't anybody there. But all of the provision was there. And they feasted on what God Almighty had provided. They were hiding it. Then they said, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. This ain't right. This ain't right. If we wait till the morning, some evil is going to happen to us. We need to go back and tell them. There's food out here. There's water out here. There's sustenance out here. There's clothes out here. There's horses out here. They wanted to go back and tell them. There's life here. It's like that delivered demoniac that wanted to travel with the Lord after the Lord had delivered him from that legion of demons. Lord, I want to go with you. The Lord suffered him not to go. But here's what he told him. He said, you go home. You go to your friends. You tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. These lepers went, and there was no enemy. There was no enemy. They had done spiritually. They had cast themselves in their heart. They're going to cast themselves upon the mercy of those Syrians. You let a man or a woman, by the grace of God, be brought to cast themselves upon the mercy of God. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. And I've got one other scripture after this, and that's it. Ephesians 2. You let a man or a woman, by the grace of God, cast themselves upon the mercy of God. And all that held us bound, Satan, the penalty of sin, the judgment of the law, the justice of the law, all that held us bound, is gone. Gone. Ephesians 2, 13, 15, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Last verse. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Beloved, we're all spiritual lepers. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins. We're living in a world that is nothing but spiritual famine. A world that cannot provide any sustenance for life eternal. God Almighty is our hope. We need mercy because we cannot change by our own ability, by our works. We can't change our state. Come to Christ as a leper in need. And say as that leper that came to the Lord, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I pray God bless this to us. Okay.